You're listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, episode number 4.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are the Fit Chicks. So today on the podcast, we're not going to be talking about fitness and nutrition, which is two of our favorite things to talk about. But we're going to be talking about something that is really, I think, probably the most relevant thing right now that's standing in the way of women reaching their weight loss, their fitness goals, their life goals. And that is stress. So we
have the big S word.
Yeah, the big S word. And it's not a sparkly one. So we have a question today. We always kind of reach out to our listeners or our chicks, which is what we call our clients, and ask them to send in a question that they have that can help us put together information that we can then give you guys actionable items that you can do at home to help you deal with these issues or get to your goals. So Amanda, what question do we have today?
So this question came from our online forum from Stacy. So Stacy wanted to, basically her statement sort of question was, she just started back at work after taking a year off for her mat leave. So congrats on your baby, Stacy. And right now she feels like she has no balance in her life. So between all the rushing in my days to get to work and daycare on time, stress at work of trying to get back and focused and trying to be a super mom and wife when I get home, I am just totally maxed out. What are some easy things I can do in my day-to-day to help relieve some stress and feel better? So great question, because I mean, I'm sure that this sounds like the majority of our listeners out there, right? The whole trying to find balance, trying to like fit everything in and still like have time to make dinner and clean up and do all those things and prepare for the next day, which is probably going to be very similar to the day before.
Well, even reading this, I mean, or hearing this, it sounds like me, and I don't even have kids, and I can't even imagine, you know, that extra level. So I think first, when it comes to anything to do with this question or when it comes to do with stress, I think we first need to look at like what stress is, because people always think about stress as like this really negative thing, but sometimes it's positive things that are happening in your life too. Like, for example, if you're planning a wedding, or you know what I mean, you've got a new job, that's awesome. Any type of change in your life too can cause a lot of stress. So what are some of the main causes like of stress, Amanda, that you think are really kind of hitting people these days? Like,
well, I think, I think for sure it's, you know, finding the balance between like family and work life, like that work life balance, which I know I can attest to that I don't really have.
Well, I'm going to be totally honest, just even interrupt, but
of course,
I don't believe in balance. I don't believe there is any such thing as balance.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, there might be a lot of people out there who are like, no, there is balance, but that's
or you have to find balance, but really, I don't think there is either, to be honest.
I don't think there is. I think that always something has to give.
And I think that you have to make a conscious choice. Like, I make a very conscious choice that my work sort of currently supersedes sort of my family life. But, you know, come future, you know, and when I decide to have family and babies and all that kind of stuff, I'll probably have to try to put a bit more priority on that side of it.
Well, and that's something that, I mean, we're kind of moving off the topic of, you know, how stress, what the main causes are. But I actually think that this is something that is, well, no, actually, we're not getting off the topic. I think this actually is the main cause. I think the main cause is that women these days, we feel like we need to be superwoman. You know, we feel like we need to do everything. We need to be the best mom. We need to be, have an amazing career. We need to be the best friend. We need to have an amazing body. We need to be strong and positive and all of these things. And we're trying to do everything. And it just isn't realistic.
Right. And or have the Pinterest worthy meals and things like that.
Oh my God. Which is like the biggest stress in my life. I try to make one of those things. I, you know, you see the pretty like unicorn cake and then there's my version and it looks like a cat that's been in a car accident. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, like I really think it's something that we need to get really honest about and we need to get real about, because women, there's so many women who are running themselves into the ground trying to live up to this idea of what we should be like. And I think a lot of times too, social media and media in general, you know, we're always talking about hustling harder and are you doing this and are you working, doing more. And also, you know, for women, like you should have this level of job and you should have kids and you should do this. And it, I just feel like we're being shoved in our faces, all these things that we should be doing. And that it's just as basically stressing us out more because there is no possible way that you can be everything in all of those categories.
Totally. I agree with you. And I think that that causes a major stress on us just in general, because it's, you know, it's creating this sense of like, I'm not doing enough or I'm not good enough at these things. So I think when I was saying, you know, it's all, I think it really is a conscious choice. I think you do have to make a conscious choice. You have to put in a conscious effort of, okay, this is my number one priority. And then right below that is this and this. And, you know, for me, Pinterest worthy meals is not my priority. It's like, as long as I'm eating the protein, fiber, fat for every meal, I'm happy. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It really never looks good. It looks gross all the time, but it tastes fine and it's healthy for me. And I batch cook so that I take that stress out of my life, you know, but you have to figure out what's going to work for you. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest things.
Well, and that's why I just kind of wanted to start off by saying that, because I just think that, you know, even listening to this, a lot of people out there are probably already thinking like, oh my God, you know, I've got so many areas of stress in my life. But just even starting, you know, just knowing that you don't need to be Superwoman. We don't expect you to be Superwoman. You're awesome just the way you are right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So definitely point taken. And then I think, you know, going back to sort of the idea around stress, I think one of the things that we should talk about first is just stress in you and how it might be affecting you. Like, how might you actually be seeing it in your life? Like, how is it popping up? Maybe, you know, it's physical, maybe it's mental, but there are so many different ways that you may actually see it.
Well, stress is sneaky. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that there's a lot of health conditions and a lot of things in your life that you don't necessarily know is caused by stress. Like, you think it's something else. But stress, it's very sneaky. It can show up in your skin, you know, like with breakouts because your cortisol levels, which is one of your stress hormones, is raised. That can cause different, you know, whether it be breakouts like acne or different rashes or things like that.
Mm-hmm. You can also.
I know, Amanda, you were saying earlier how you're really interested in the skin.
Well, no, I was very interested in the fact that there is actually, because of the fact that skin, like the mind-body connection is so important to understand, I found it very interesting that there is actually now a new field that has been created to address the connection between skin and stress. And it's actually called psychodermatology. So it's actually like a new field where these people are dedicated to just actually studying and finding the connection between skin and stress. And that's what I find really interesting. I find it, that it's such a phenomenon, that it's such a huge factor in our society that there's actually now a field created and dedicated to this study.
Well, because the way that we feel, and stress can be something that's, you know, a physical stress that's happening in your life, you know, like physical stress, you could break your leg. That's a physical stress. But your mind, as you start to worry about things and think about things, that causes reactions in your body too, that, you know, could be real stresses, or they could be things that you're just, you know, swirling around in your brain, which, you know, anxious thoughts or self-doubt or things like that. And they're showing up in your body in different ways, like these skin issues.
Oh, for sure.
And they also show up, you know, a lot of times weight gain is hugely tied to stress.
Same as weight loss.
Same as, you know, chest pains, headaches, stomach aches. There's so many like physical symptoms that come up that are just caused by stress.
Totally. And I mean, even to add to your point about how, you know, your mind-body connection is so strong and how your brain and your thoughts can actually create physical symptoms. I went through that spell. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, Laura, when I was so stressed out and it was all just based on me creating all this stress in my mind and all this worry. I was just in a very anxious place in my life that I had these stomach pains that were coming and they would be so intense that I wouldn't actually even be able to stand up straight. And my stomach would be super bloated and I thought I had an ulcer. I went to the hospital and I remember being at the hospital and I drove there after class one night. After teaching one of our FitChicks classes, I drove to the hospital because I couldn't actually stand up when I was teaching. And so when I got there, they did, you know, ultrasounds and they did all these tests and everything else and it showed nothing. And, you know, so it really just showed me that it was really just about where my headspace was at. And it's just, it's so fascinating. So I had to figure out a way to reduce my stress levels and to reduce my anxiety and how to sort of control my thought process in a way that I could reduce those naturally. And so we'll talk about that in a little bit in terms of natural ways to take away from the physical stress in your body as well. But you'll also, you know, sometimes you'll also see stress like in your attitude. Like if you notice that you're feeling really depressed lately or really angry, like, and really short. So like if things just set you off to the point where you're like, everything's great. And you know, it's like kittens and rainbows one minute. And then the next minute it's just like breathing fire and so angry over something so small. Often that comes from stress and you don't even know that it's, you don't even understand why you're feeling this agitated and this angry, but a lot of times it is just, it's stress showing up in your attitude.
And I mean, I feel like a lot of times too, is that we don't take a step back and recognize what is the root cause of the stress. You know, we just try to combat the problem in the moment. And that could just be by lashing out at somebody or, you know, a lot of times now there's a lot of people who are taking prescription drugs and I'm not saying, you know, anything bad about prescription drugs or that you shouldn't be. But a lot of times they're not dealing with the root cause of what's really stressing them out. So all of these things are, it keeps showing up in different forms until you deal with what is really going on with you. Because like I said at the beginning, I think this is something that is hitting everybody right now. And whether you're trying to, you know, like get fit or lose weight or just be able to have a more positive life, if you can't handle or don't know how to have tools to deal with the stress in your life, you're never going to be able to get there. You're never going to be able to reach those goals.
100%. I mean, the biggest thing that you need to do is you need to learn how to promote the relaxation response. So the relaxation response is essentially the answer to the fight or flight syndrome, because the fight or flight syndrome is basically the idea that, you know, when something comes, you know, in your life, you know, a situation or a thought or anything else, it either makes you want to fight against it. So push it away, bottle it up, get rid of it altogether and put energy towards pushing it away, which essentially doesn't usually work because even if you bottle something up, it will bubble up again at some point and usually it comes back stronger. Or the flight syndrome, which is just like ignore, run away from it, distract yourself constantly, but you're still not dealing with the root of the problem, right? And so the biggest thing is to sit with yourself and kind of really just try to figure out what the big root of the problem is so that you can try to find a solution to that. But then the other thing is to promote the relaxation response. So when you actually promote, and we're going to talk about ways that you can do that naturally, but when you do activate your relaxation response, this is when you feel your heart rate decrease, muscles relaxing, your blood pressure drops. So, you know, your breath calms, your body starts healing itself. You have increased energy, you combat illness during this period, you increase your focus, and you boost your motivation and productivity. So if all of those things sound like pretty awesome to you, right? Because they should, because it's like, yes, that's what I want. I want to be motivated. I want to, you know, increase my energy levels and things like that. You need to find natural ways to do so. So we're going to talk now about the solutions, right? So how you can promote the relaxation response. So I think the first thing that we really need to talk about is exercise and endorphins, because I know, you know, being the owners of Fit Chicks and, you know, the people that we are, like, I know for me, if I don't exercise every day, I can feel the stress in my body. Do you feel the same way? Like, do you have that same response in your body?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because stress and anything to do with anxiety and feelings like that, I always think of it almost as trapped energy. And I find that as soon as you do something, especially sweating, it can really help get that energy moving, and it transfers the energy out, as opposed to, you know, keeping it all in and then you just feel it. Because I know for me, when I get stressed out, I literally feel like frenetic energy. Like my body can feel, it feels like it's almost vibrating. And yeah. I know it's different for everybody. So I find that when I exercise, that really calms it down. And that really comes from that release of the endorphins and serotonin, which is, you know, the happy natural drugs in our body. And one thing I find too is that it even works even better when you actually exercise outdoors, because there's been a lot of studies that show that being with the natural elements, especially around trees or water, it really brings down and taps into that rest and digest syndrome, taps into your rest and digest system more than if you were in like a closed space.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One of the other things,
she's a good one.
One of the other things too, that's actually been proven, is that rhythmic movement is actually shown to be one of the most effective ways to calm stress. So something like running, walking, swimming, dancing, rowing, something where you're constantly doing the same motion has been proven, because what it does is it allows for you to focus on each of the movements as opposed to having to focus on like choreography or anything else. So you're not necessarily being distracted. You're really just focusing on this rhythmic process, and you can really focus on, you know, they say like, when you walk, if you focus on, or when you're running and things like that, and if you focus on the actual feeling of each time your foot hits the pavement, and so each part of your foot actually touching the pavement, and that's all you're thinking about, it can just completely calm your mind and get you really focused on exactly what it is that you're doing.
Well, it's kind of the same, you know, whether it be walking or the same as with yoga. You know, we really tie reducing stress into yoga as a practice. But it's the same thing. You know, some people, yoga is really just moving meditation, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're out and you're walking, whether it be in nature or on the sidewalk, and you are thinking and connecting your body to your mind, that is moving meditation.
Exactly.
It's a really great way to, you know, and I think that, you know, when we talk a lot about exercise, and right away some people are like, oh my gosh, especially when we're talking about stress, they think, I don't have time. I don't have time to, like, that would be another stress, would be trying to figure out the time to exercise.
Yeah.
But we make time for the things that are a priority in our lives. And at the end of the day, we all only have 24 hours. So you have to prioritize your stress levels and you have to prioritize your health. So make sure you schedule it in.
It's like that, that quote that I saw online that says, Beyonce also only has 24 hours in her day.
Exactly. And people will say, oh, but she's got a team of people. But realistically, I always think about this. When it comes down to exercising, you, unless you're getting plastic surgery, you're the only person who can physically do it. No one else can do it for you to get the body you want. So whether you're Beyonce or whether you're Laura Jackson, it's, you know what I mean? We still both have to move to get the results and exactly. To get the reduced stress levels. So, but yeah, I also think, you know, in terms of natural ways, another thing, and I was saying this at the beginning, is just about shifting that mentality. And I think it's just, you know, giving yourself permission to not be everything. I always use kind of the motto, progress, not perfection. because, you know, we always get so tied up in the end result. And I always think about, you know, even working out with this, like, you know, we're so obsessed with, I want to look like that, that the process becomes so stressful to get there. When really, if you're just focusing on making progress every day and just trying to be better than you were yesterday, it takes a lot of the stress out of what you're doing. And I always try to make a list, you know, make a list of the things that are important to me. I was actually on Instagram the other day, and I was reading this thing about this girl who posted how she was an entrepreneur, and for so long she was trying to be, you know, a businesswoman and had the perfect body and a mom and a great wife and all of these things. And she realized she can only do three things at a time. So depending on where she's at in her life, she has three things she's focused on. So right now she was saying how she has put on about 10 pounds because exercise is not in her top three. Her top three right now are her work, her kids, and her husband. Interesting. And then she's like, but you know, maybe in 2 months that might shift, and it might be, my work might not be as much of a priority and exercise will be more of a priority. But she's come to accept that she can't be every single superwoman thing. So sometimes by making a list, you can kind of see, okay, right now in current time, what's important to me? What do I want to focus on? And what can I focus on maybe a little bit later on?
Definitely. That's a good point. I think another thing too, to add to the list of natural ways that you can combat stress, one of the big things for me, one of like probably the things I connected with most was meditation. And I know for meditation, a lot of times it can seem really overwhelming to some people.
Well, a lot of people think it's really hippy dippy.
They either find it really hippy dippy or like too spiritual.
Or intimidating. You know. I think a lot of people actually find it intimidating.
But it really doesn't have to be, you know, I think that with meditation, you just have to figure out a way, because what it does is it calms your mind and your body, right? It helps you understand like a deeper understanding of your breath and your mind-body connection. And sort of the way I always describe meditation is the way it was described to me and the way that it connected with me was, it was kind of like when you meditate and when you practice meditation, it's about finding a way to connect to this place within you that allows for you to have a calm place to connect to during, no matter what's happening outside. So in your outside life, there could be turmoil, but then internally you have a place that you can kind of connect to and go to that gives you a calm sense. So the way it was described to me, because I'm very visual, is that it's almost like the ocean. So when you think about the ocean, if there's like a typhoon happening on the surface, it's like crazy, right? So there's like crazy waves and it's all crashing and it's all like insanity happening up there. But if you go to the very, very bottom, so the very base of the ocean, it's calm. So there is like this calm place within this chaos. And so if you think about it from that perspective, that's really sort of how I connect with meditation and I use it for my sort of own tools. So it doesn't matter what's happening in my outside world as long as I can have that place. And so to find that place, it's really about practice. And I think, you know, some people, again, they get stressed about the idea of even practicing meditation because it's like, oh, I have to do it for 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day. You really don't. Like, truly, I find the best practice is to just sit with yourself. So with meditation, it's all just about sitting and focusing on your breath, inhaling, coming in, and exhaling. That's Vipassana meditation. So it's about focusing on your breath, going in and out. And that's all you're trying to focus on. But the thing that's really important is that you're not letting yourself get stressed if halfway through you're like, oh no, I was already thinking about something else. Because when that happens, all you have to do is label it as thought, because then you recognize that was a thought, and then you just bring yourself back to your breath. And it doesn't matter how many times you have to do that, and it doesn't matter if you sit for a minute or if you sit for 20 minutes, it's all just practice, because eventually it starts to connect a little bit deeper for you. And that's probably one of my like go-to sort of ways that I personally find helps me with my stress, other than exercise, of course. Exercise is like my number one. And then I think meditation for me is kind of my number two, because it allows for me to find that connection. So definitely try not to stress about it though. just try it and just practice it. And if you do it for a minute, or if you do it for 30 seconds, or if you do it for 20 minutes, it's not about time. It's just about quality.
But I still think, and I mean, this is what I want to ask you to share, because I still think that, and I know this is coming from me, because yoga is more of your, it's your deeper into that practice and area. And for me, I'm more of the person who, where my natural, my meditation would be just going for a walk in the forest.
Right.
But if someone, because we want to, you know, always give action items, if someone's looking just to be able to do a breathing technique, that they were like, okay, you know what, I don't know how to meditate, I can't sit on the pillow, which is me. That's when, I don't know, as soon as I have to meditate, and this is how I know I need it very a lot in my life, is because as soon as I try to do it, my brain goes crazy. It's like the dog in the dog park that's just like, oh my God, like I start thinking about 85 gazillion things. So I know that's where I'm like, okay, I really need to start this practice. But for somebody like me, who's like, okay, I'm not there yet, I just want to be able to do something that I can use my breath or calm down, what is something you can do?
For sure. So there's the meditation side, but then there's also just breathing techniques. And, you know, meditation is something that is a little bit more of a practice, and it takes a little bit more, I guess, effort in the sense, but there's also breathing techniques that you can do. One of them in under a minute that has proven to actually reduce your stress levels. And so it's actually called the 4-7-8 breathing technique. And so what that is you actually breathe in through your nose for a count of four. So it's not like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4. So kind of think like almost like one Mississippi, right? So nice, slow, calming breath in through your nose. Then you hold your breath for a count of 7. And then you exhale out your mouth for a count of 8. So in through your nose for 4, hold for 7, out your mouth for 8. It's proven that when you inhale through your nose and you exhale out your mouth, you're actually calming down your central nervous system. So it's actually one of my techniques I use in my class as well when I'm teaching, and I notice people are getting really worked up, or if they seem really red in the face or feeling a little bit overwhelmed, I always tell them in through their nose, out through their mouth, calm down the central nervous system, take away that stress that's building up in your body. But with the 4-7-8 technique, it's the exact same except for you add a 7-second hold in the middle. And you repeat this 3 to 4 times. And it is proven that within that period, that would be about a minute, that it will actually reduce your stress levels and your anxiety levels completely.
See, I like that. Cause like, that's something I could do. That's something my dog park brain could handle.
Exactly. It's a minute, right? Like it's 1 minute of effort, but, and because you actually have to focus on the counts, you're calming down your brain because that's all you're really focusing on is like the counting, right? So you're staying very focused.
Well, and that's one thing that I think with, when it comes to stress amongst everyone who is stressing out about things, it's really about getting out of your head and getting out of the thoughts, because you're not your thoughts. Your thoughts are your thoughts. You know, because depending on what you're feeling, one day your thoughts could be telling you you're amazing and you're great and you're this. And the next day your thoughts could be telling you you're fat and you're ugly and you're a horrible person. And that's not true. You know, your thoughts are just your thoughts. So you have to kind of learn how to be able to turn those off. And just even focusing on the breath is such a great way to not go down that rabbit hole of crazy.
Exactly.
And we all have it.
Like it's, of course.
It's not like it's a thing that, you know. Okay, so staying with the natural ways, and this is something we haven't talked about yet. So we kind of talked about exercise and endorphins, and we've talked about, you know, shifting the mentality and like starting to write down what you prioritize and get focused on maybe 3 things and let some of that other stuff off your list right now. And breathing and meditation. But the one thing we haven't talked about, and this is something that I think is so important, is the nutrition side of it. Because the thing in today's day is that we're so stressed out and we're feeling so anxious and we're feeling, you know, all of these crazy high level, you know, terrible things in our bodies, but we're not nourishing our bodies in a way to be able to deal with those kind of feelings. So a lot of times what's happening is it's actually, you know, and stress too makes you crave, crazy high sugar, high carbohydrate, refined foods because you want that quick burst of energy or that quick rush of endorphins that you can get from certain types of food because they're so packed with chemicals now.
Same goes when it comes to comfort foods, right? So, I mean, we all have those like foods that we kind of turn to when we're, you know, that we call our comfort food. And a lot of times we don't even recognize the connection between I feel this way, so I eat this certain thing, you know?
Well, and one of the biggest studies that was done on comfort foods was about how the things that we crave when we're feeling sad or stressed or depressed are usually the foods that our mothers used to feed us or the caretaker in our life used to feed us when we were kids, because it brings you back to a time of safety and security. And that's,
oh my gosh, that's so, that is so true, because I've recognized my, sorry to like hijack this conversation for a second, but I recognize actually that one of my biggest, you know, cravings when I feel really lonely or if I feel really sad, like just that lonely kind of like completely segregated feeling, my biggest craving is to eat popcorn mixed with barbecue chips. And it sounds so maybe gross.
Sounds delicious.
But it's amazing. But the reason why, and I know the connection though, and that's the difference, is I've really dug deep and found the connection. And I understand when I feel, when I crave that, I know why. Like I get it now, but it took a while to figure it out. But it's because my mom used to give that to my sister and I when we were younger, when we would go to the drive-in, and it was like this happy place that we would kind of always go to. And that's what she would always make for us, is popcorn and barbecue chips mixed together. And that was our snack at the drive-in. So it's this thing that kind of comforts me in a way when I feel lonely, because my mom and my family is something that really makes me feel very joyful. So it's interesting when you really dig deep and you figure out the connections.
Completely. But then, you know, and the thing that's funny too is that that craving you're having is for popcorn and chips, which is, you know, a high carbohydrate processed food. And it's going to give you that quick feeling of, you know, quick good feeling, even if it didn't have the emotional component to it.
Yeah.
And those are the foods, you know, like when you're feeling stressed out, who's craving broccoli? Like, I don't know anyone. Oh my God, I can't wait for that kale salad. I'm so stressed. You know, like.
Now it's always like, I want pizza or like.
Yeah. But the problem is though, is that a lot of times those are the foods that they're so packed full of chemicals that they're contributing to your stress levels, because those chemicals react in our body. They're man-made chemicals that our body doesn't know how to break down. So if you're someone who's dealing with a lot of stress issues, one of the things that you can do today to really start to change that is to get rid of the packaging and the processing. So just focus on eating real whole food that comes out of the ground that way. So lots of, you know, fruits and vegetables and meat and eggs and nuts and seeds and things that are just really, you know, the things without the labels that are full of the nutrition. Because there's certain minerals that really do help with calming the body, and certain vitamins. So any foods that, with things like magnesium is a natural muscle relaxant. So those would be things like dark leafy greens, like spinach and kale. Pumpkin seeds are actually amazing. They are packed full of magnesium, but they also have zinc, the B vitamins and antioxidants. And those are all other elements that really help support your body through stress. And cocoa too, which I love, because I'm on the sweet side. I love chocolate. And the other thing too for nutrition when you're stressed out is you want to make sure you're getting enough healthy fat. And even though, you know, we know that fat doesn't make you fat now, and there was that craze in the 90s where everything was like, fat makes you fat. And then everyone got really fat because the problem was they increased all of their carbohydrates, and our bodies need fat.
The Susan Powder Revolution.
I know. And I remember it. She was so pivotal in my fitness. Like, she was probably one of the first people that really shifted me over into fitness and nutrition, even though at the time, you know, now knowing that fat is good for you, I look back thinking, oh my God, but she was such a fitness character. Richard Simmons, but yeah. So the thing with fat though is it really supports our nervous system and it supports your brain. So if you're not getting enough fat, you might be thinking haywire and feeling haywire. So but you want to be focusing on like the healthy fats, you know, like avocados and flax oil and olive oil, salmon, things like that. But you'll see a big difference. And if you can make some small changes like that in your diet, especially if you're someone who's really into the packaging, the processing, and has really high stress levels, I guarantee you're going to feel so much different even after a week. And cool. The last thing for natural ways to combat stress is also hydration. And this is something that we kind of overlook. We're chronically dehydrated. People, because we're not, we don't drink water anymore. Most people are drinking coffee, which caffeine dehydrates us and is also a stimulant, which is so bad if you're stressed out. And then we're also drinking pop like crazy, which I'm still so shocked how much pop people drink, just for the amount of sugar and what, you know, what we know about pop now.
As a side note, Laura, I don't think I told you, but I've given up pop altogether. I thought you'd be happy to know that.
Yay!
Yeah.
Good job.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And you know, people, and we also aren't eating enough fruits and vegetables, which is another thing that really hydrates the body. So there's actually studies out there that, that found that dehydration, it actually makes, your stress 25% more persistent than if you are hydrated.
That's fascinating. I had no idea that you're like, I know hydration is super important and I drink a ton of water every day, but I didn't realize that it actually contributed to stress levels as well.
Yeah. Like this, and that's one of the things I always find so fascinating about health, fitness, wellness is that it is really such a holistic thing. You know, like we always talk about it a lot, in our fitness and nutrition expert program and in our classes. And we talk a lot about, you know, looking at, you can't look at it as just one piece of the puzzle. You have to look at all the areas because you might be amazing with your fitness, you know, and getting in your workouts and working out properly for your body and for the right amount of time and right intensity, but then you're not managing your stress levels. And then you're wondering why you're not getting to your goals. So, you know, and you've got, you just have to look at the whole picture and it can seem overwhelming, but it's just really interesting when you start to kind of pick it apart and look at, you know, how it all really works together. It's all inside and out.
Agreed.
Okay. So we covered a lot today.
We did. And I think, you know, my biggest takeaway for anyone listening, I think would really be just, you know, out of all of the things that we've suggested from a natural way to combat stress, look at them all. And it doesn't necessarily mean like, don't stress yourself out trying to figure out how to fit all of these things into your life currently, but look at the things that may be lacking in those areas. Do that list, you know, break down the list of all the priorities, and then also look at all these different areas from exercise to meditation, to breathing, to natural foods and hydration and all these things, and figure out maybe where some things may be lacking and what you can add really simply into your life, like, you know, making that switch from coffee to water, or making, you know, just adding in this breathing technique, like understand it, practice it, kind of get familiar with it so that it becomes kind of your go-to in those moments of stress or things like that. But figure out sort of what you can add in slowly. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't put everything at once and just be like, okay, I got to do all these things, because that's just going to add to your stress level. So my takeaway for all of you listening is really just kind of have an overview, have a look at everything that you can do, and figure out the things you can do easiest in the beginning, add those in, and when they become a natural part of your life and sort of part of your process, that's when you can then start looking at the things that may be a little bit more challenging that you can then start implementing, again, slowly and piece by piece.
Exactly. You don't have to be superwoman.
Yeah.
You are superwoman already. You just have to be a happy woman and a de-stressed woman. Progress, not perfection. So Amanda, what are you grateful for today?
To be honest, because we've been talking so much about stress and everything else, it really made me grateful for the fact that I've had so much practice with my yoga and my meditation practice. I mean, the amount that it transformed my life, I went from a place in my life where my anxiety levels were so high that I could barely even like function as a human. Like, I'm not even joking. It was so intense that I couldn't hold conversations. I couldn't even like, I would be holding an object in my hand and my brain would go into that mode of like replaying a thought process that to the point where it became so obsessive that I would even just drop things out of my hand. They would just naturally fall out of my hands because I couldn't even focus my body to do things anymore. It was really intense at one point in my life. And for me, the transformation that I've seen through using yoga and meditation, that's really where I started. And that's where I continue to go with, you know, sort of my practice has completely changed my life. And so I'm really grateful for that. And I'm really grateful that it's something that really connects with me and makes sense to me and kind of is just like a really big part of my life.
Well, and I think it's so important to share things like that because it shows no matter where you are right now listening to this, there is always possibility and there's always tomorrow for a better day, you know, and you can, even if you are a super anxious and stressed out and your life right now feels like everything's falling apart, it will get better. You just have to find something that connects to you and a tool that you can use that's really going to help you, help support you, and that you can use for the long term. And that's why, you know, I love that you just shared that about like your yoga and meditation, because that's something that you have in your pocket that you know every time, okay, I'm starting to feel a certain way, I can use this tool. You know?
100%.
And it's kind of the way that I feel too, because, you know, me as well, like I dealt with an eating disorder for 15 years. And even though I haven't had an episode, I've dealt with bulimia in a long time. It's something that I know I always have to be aware of because it can easily come back up. So, you know, even the tools we're talking about today, these are all things that I do as well, you know, and that's why exercise for me is very important. Being out in nature is very important. Learning how to breathe and slow down and not feel like I have to be perfect, because that puts a lot of pressure on me, which would then trigger me. And that's something that I'm grateful for today as well, is that I've done the work and I know what to do now when I start to feel certain ways, and that I'm really excited to be able to share this with other people that they can do this too. And it just takes, you know, finding what works for you and finding the right people who can help support you along the way.
Agreed. And just taking action for yourself.
Yeah.
What suits you best.
And that's what I love about, health. I love about wellness. I love about you, Miss Amanda, because it's such a, it really changes everything. And it's, you know, good stress, bad stress, whatever it is. But if you don't have your health, you have nothing. So I'm really happy that we were able to talk about this stuff today, because for some people it's a really heavy issue. And I think that there's a lot of people that could benefit from this. So thank you for listening. I'm really happy you guys stayed with us. And until next week, have an awesome day. And as always, if you guys need and have any questions or want to ask us anything or want to hear anything on us talk about, email us at info@fitchicks.ca, or you can go onto our website at fitchicks.com or fitchicks.ca. And let us know, because we want to talk about what you guys want to hear. Okay. Have a great day.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.